This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. If you suffer from a diabetic complication, radiation damage, stroke, or a degenerative condition, hyperbaric oxygen therapy may be right for you. Call Hyperbaric Medical Solutions at 844-877-HBOT or visit hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com/Hoffman to learn more. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we have a topic today that I think is going to be of great interest to many of your listeners. The topic is fibromyalgia, and we're going to talk to one of the country's foremost experts on fibromyalgia, and we're also going to feature some opportunities for you to, A, get a book, which is going to be a really marvelous book with a very comprehensive discussion of treatment strategies for fibromyalgia, but also to participate in a summit called the FibroFix Summit, wherein you can listen to numerous experts, including yours truly. I'll be one of the featured speakers, but some really top experts that we'll tell you about in just a few moments, so that you can become a fibromyalgia maven, a real expert on this subject, and help yourself and help others with this problem. So without further ado, here's our guest. He's Dr. David Brady. He's a naturopathic physician, and he has a private practice at Whole Body Medicine in Fairfield, Connecticut. He's also runs a program at the University of Bridgeport in naturopathic medicine. He's head of the Human Nutrition Institute at the University of Bridgeport, and he also is involved in the supplement industry as chief medical officer of Designs for Health, a very fine maker of nutritional supplements, high-quality physician-dispensed supplements. He is widely sought after as a presenter, and he's also author of numerous research papers on fibromyalgia. And he is dedicated to the cause of patients with fibromyalgia who are seeking answers. So here's our guest, Dr. David Brady. So, Dr. Brady, tell us about this upcoming FibroFix Summit. What can listeners expect to learn? And give us some details.
Yeah, thank you. The FibroFix Summit will run in later June, the 20th to the 27th. And I basically took that opportunity to bring a tremendous amount of information right to people who either have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia or may think for some reason that they may have fibromyalgia. They may be suffering from longstanding pain and discomfort all over their body, fatigue, and many of the other symptoms associated with fibromyalgia. And I basically interview 35-plus experts from all around the world at many major academic centers on fibromyalgia, but also a lot of the other conditions that are commonly misinterpreted as fibromyalgia. So things that can get people a misdiagnosis or a mislabeling, and then many other aspects of the fibromyalgia syndrome. It involves a lot of issues related to anxiety, for instance, and depression. So I have experts on anxiety and depression and how to manage those. Also sleep dysfunction, non-refreshed sleep is a common component, for instance. A lot of vague intestinal issues. So I have experts from Johns Hopkins on gastrointestinal issues and just many other experts on stress, experts on fibromyalgia itself. So that the idea is to get people the kind of information they need to become their best self advocate to navigate this healthcare system that for many of these patients with fibromyalgia or a label of fibromyalgia, the system sort of leaves them behind, many times does not serve them well. So they need a health advocate, and the health advocate, after they participate in the summit, will be themselves, because they'll have a really good understanding. It's not training people to be doctors. It's training people to understand this condition, how the diagnosis can be wrong, what options are there for you to actually engage in your own recovery and be successful at getting back to, you know, a good, robust life that everyone wants to lead.
You're going to be talking to a lot of experts, including yours truly. People are familiar with me, but who are some of the other top experts that people might recognize in the field? I think Mark Hyman is one of the experts you'll be speaking to.
Yeah, I have Mark Hyman, who many people know from his multiple books, New York Times best-selling books. So I do have Dr. Mark Hyman. I have Dr. Amy Meyer, Dr. Susan Blum. I have Dr. Jerry Mullen from Johns Hopkins. These are all people with, New York Times best-selling books or are just renowned in their field. I have researchers in the field of fibromyalgia from major academic centers. I have Dr. Michael Schneider from the University of Pittsburgh, who's an NIH-funded researcher in this field. J.J. Virgin, who's written many books on diet and food as medicine. I have experts from even the United Kingdom on fibromyalgia. So there's just an incredible array of an amazing talent that's come together for this summit. And you can see the whole speaker panel at FibroFixSummit.com. So it's just FibroFix, FibroFix Summit, one word, FibroFixSummit.com. And you can register there. It's totally free to participate in the summit. And we're looking forward to a great event.
Indeed. So for listeners who are not familiar with summits, what is it like? I mean, is there a big, freight? I mean, if this was offered as a university course, this could be, a $500 course with hours and hours of course material. How does it work for the public to get involved with that?
Well, the FibroFix Summit basically unfolds over a week. So it'll start on June 20th. It'll go through June 27th. And there are either four or five expert talks or interviews where I, as the host, interview these folks. Each day has a specific theme to it. Once you register, you'll get access to the summit. You'll be able to listen to all of these different interviews. There's all kinds of different bonus materials that are unlocked as well, so written materials and different health-related bonus resources and gifts and things like that for people who register. And then there's an encore day where people vote their best interviews, and they'll be unleashed on day eight. And then, as I said, it's all free to attend. Some people choose to take home this material and have rights to be able to listen to and stream these interviews whenever they would like, get written transcripts of all the interviews and many of the other bonuses that are given. People are given the opportunity to do that. There's a modest fee to have ongoing digital access and or download all of the content of the entire summit, which is, like you said, a master's level university course on a thumb drive, essentially. So those opportunities will be there for people who attend the summit. But they're great events. Even if you can't tune into every single interview, you can kind of look at the daily lineups and sort of pick and choose which ones you'd like to see. And then if you can't see them all and you want to, you can choose these downloadable options.
Well, I know we had a great conversation that we recorded a few weeks back, and if that's any sample of the quality of these presentations, I think it'll be most useful for our listeners. So let's move along to the book. There's also a FibroFix book. Tell us about the book.
Right. The book is really a labor of love. I mean, it's a couple of years in the writing, but it's really a couple of decades in the making, because it's really a culmination of all of my years' work in this field. And it includes sort of, my story on why I became motivated to become an advocate for patients with fibromyalgia and to really spend a large part of my career, at least being one of the focuses of my career, and how I've spent a lot of time researching, publishing, both in the peer-reviewed medical journals, but also textbook chapters in medical textbooks that are used in medical schools on fibromyalgia. And so I've spent a lot of time trying to educate my colleagues in the medical fields and healthcare about fibromyalgia and how to deal with these patients better, how to really adequately and fully comprehensively work these patients up and differentially diagnose them and give them all of the different options to their recovery, not just, the three approved drugs for fibromyalgia. There's much, much more than that to the story. But the book actually takes this story now right to the streets, if you will, to the public, to the people who have it, to the people who think they have it, to family members who maybe have someone in their family suffering from fibromyalgia, and healthcare providers who actually want to learn more or want to have a resource to direct their patients to so that they better understand what they're doing. But the book really is a empowerment book. It's not written for the doctor primarily. It's written for the patient or the sufferer, and it's giving them a roadmap to recovery on how to understand this disorder, what it is, what it's not. It works people through different gateways to determine, do they likely really have this thing called classic fibromyalgia, this central pain processing disorder, or do they maybe have one of these other conditions that are commonly misdiagnosed as fibromyalgia? And we put those into sort of buckets, if you will, medical disorders that are commonly confused, more functional nutritional disorders, subtle thyroid disorders, energy production problems in the mitochondria, actual structural or musculoskeletal, you know, body issues that are being misdiagnosed as fibromyalgia, or do you really have this true central or brain-mediated pain processing disorder? And no matter what bucket you find yourself in as you read through the book, it gives you very direct things that you can do to engage in your recovery. And while you're reading the book, there's sort of an introductory 21-day sort of metabolic reboot, detoxification, cleans up your diet, gets you off inflammatory foods, gets you get your mitochondria making more energy, gets you moving again in a very, very safe way. So, you know, bringing back range of motion and mobility and flexibility in a way that's not going to exacerbate you, even if you have classic fibromyalgia. And then introducing you to ways to mitigate the stress that's a big part of this disorder. So we introduce people to simple concepts like guided imagery, progressive relaxation. And so you're doing this 21-day program that is sort of going to benefit anybody, no matter if you have classic fibromyalgia or a myriad of other conditions that might be misdiagnosed as it. So you're sort of getting this baseline rejuvenation while you're reading through the book and trying to figure out where you are, what bucket you fall in through different questionnaires, different gateways in the book. And then once you pretty much find out where you fall, then there's very specific action steps that you can take on your own that get to the root cause of why you actually have your symptoms. And it also gives information that you can share with your doctor or your healthcare provider to, you know, suggest some avenues that maybe have not been run down to this point. So different types of metabolic testing, diagnostic testing, laboratories, different types of treatment interventions, and the like. So it's a very comprehensive and empowering book.
So what's wrong with the conventional approach to fibromyalgia? You talk about misdiagnosis. That's a big theme of your talks and your books and your writings. And what about the medications that are available for treatment of fibromyalgia? Do they cut it?
Well, no, they clearly don't cut it. I mean, there's three FDA-approved drugs for fibromyalgia. None of them were developed for fibromyalgia. They're retread drugs. They're repurposed drugs. So two of the three are antidepressant drugs in the what are called the SNRI class, the selective serotonin and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor class. They're basically antidepressants. The other one is an anti-epileptic drug that's repurposed for fibromyalgia and renamed, which simply dumbs down the nervous system. Now, people who really truly have classic fibromyalgia, these agents can help some of those people, but the reality is that most people diagnosed with fibromyalgia are misdiagnosed. There was a large study done using the current diagnostic criteria that showed that when family physicians and even rheumatologists diagnosed fibromyalgia in a patient, when those patients were then sent to an expert panel of rheumatology specialists trained specifically in fibromyalgia, the diagnosis was considered inappropriate 2/3 of the time. So, you know, 66% of these patients diagnosed by physicians, it was incorrect. So when you roll in the people who diagnosed themselves on WebMD or their neighbor told them they had fibromyalgia, you can only imagine how high the misdiagnosis level goes. Many of these people, though, get put on these medications, these antidepressants, these anti-epileptics that have no chance of helping them because they don't have classic fibromyalgia. They may have one of a myriad of other problems. So the drugs really are not the answer. Rand did a large study showing that even if people who seem to be correctly diagnosed with global pain perception problems, the drugs only afforded significantly or statistically significant benefit less than a quarter of the time. Actually, it was about 22% of the time. And of those patients who got benefit, after several months, the benefit was gone, and all they were left with was potential side effects of the drug. So the drug answer is not there yet. I don't think it will ever be there because it's more complex than one mechanism and one drug could ever hope. And I talk about the drugs a lot in the book, talk about when they might be appropriate for a trial, when they would probably not be, what the side effects are, what the benefits may be, to help guide people better in making that selection. But Dr. Hoffman, the reality is that physicians, healthcare providers are not trained adequately in fibromyalgia. Even the ones getting out of medical school today know very little about it. What they're told is little, and what they're told often is overtly incorrect. So when I trained, in my primary training, I certainly was woefully prepared for these kind of patients. And I had to basically go become an expert on my own out of sheer desperation because I realized that these patients were being left, you know, without a safety net. And they were just, and they were being not only mismanaged, they were being, in my opinion, by the system at least, and by many providers, not only neglected, but kind of abused. They were being dismissed. They were being, their sincerity was being doubted. They were being told, oh, you're just making it all up. Get back to, you know, life. Get over it. And it was just really unfortunate. So it was a 25-year path of trying to become an expert, which I did. And that's what the book shares with people.
Can you give us some examples of patients who tried medication, got equivocal results or no results at all, who achieved breakthroughs by taking a more comprehensive look at this, such as you outline in the FibroFix?
Sure. Some of the most common, what I call masqueraders of fibromyalgia, things that get people an erroneous diagnosis, are actually things that are quite easy to treat if you identify them. As we say in medicine, you know, proper diagnosis is half the cure. You need to know what's wrong with the patient to try to, you know, get them the right treatment. So, for instance, one of the top three masqueraders is really underappreciated, undiagnosed thyroid conditions in women. Mm-hmm. That can cause fatigue, can cause muscle ache, can cause cognitive dysfunction, so-called fibrofog, can cause a lot of the vague gut problems we associate with fibromyalgia because hypothyroidism slows down the intestinal movement or peristalsis. So you can get constipation, you can get bloating, you can get, you know, just feelings of unease in the intestinal tract. And, we look much more specifically and granularly at thyroid function than the conventional sort of orthodox family medicine doc would, or even many times than the endocrinologist would. So when we look deeper into thyroid function and we see suboptimal function, sometimes it's as easy as addressing that thyroid dysfunction, whether it's we need to reduce their stress and get their stress response right so it's not sabotaging the thyroid, whether it's getting rid of certain toxins, things like mercury and other types of things that can disrupt thyroid hormone conversion, or whether it's actually putting them on some thyroid hormone, particularly thyroid hormone that also has a T3 component to it, because a lot of the thyroid medications, like Synthroid, for instance, or Levoxyl, they're just synthetic T4, and the patient's problem is converting to T3. So once we straighten their thyroid out, they can often be better in the matter of weeks or even days sometimes, that the symptoms just start melting away, and the person, you know, the lights come on and they feel a lot like they used to. So that's one example. Another common misdiagnosis is, mitochondrial or energy production problems, where the patient has problems in how they're manufacturing energy at the cellular level. We can pick these things up with things like organic acid tests and other types of functional testing, and then provide the nutritional cofactors to make the enzymes work again or the substrates needed to produce energy. So we can use things like CoQ10 and ribose and L-carnitine and certain B vitamins and magnesium and things to kind of bring the energy furnaces back online. So you can get fairly quick results with that. In other instances, when we do a good hands-on physical exam, we find out that these patients really do have muscular problems, they have trigger points, they have myofascial pain syndrome, they have other types of orthopedic or structural issues that when we treat those with physical medicine correctly, the patient gets better. Conversely, that classic fibromyalgia patient often doesn't get better at all when you do physical medicine. You know, they've seen physical therapists, they've seen chiropractors, acupuncturists, massage therapists, and they don't get any better. They just have pain when they do the therapy. A lot of times those patients really, they don't have muscular problems at all. They just perceive pain and achiness in the muscles and the soft tissue. Their problem is central in the brain. They really have classic fibromyalgia. So with those patients, we need to look at those mechanisms. What's going on in the brain that's sabotaging the way they're seeing their world? So we have to look at their neurotransmitter levels, their serotonin, their GABA levels. We have to look at, we look for elevations of something called substance P, which really makes them interpret a lot of things as pain that shouldn't be painful. So we have to rebalance some of that neurochemistry, but also we need to deal with why it got like that. And often these are patients, they're usually women, almost exclusively, not entirely, but almost. And often they have a very common history of a lot of stress, a lot of, especially going even back to early childhood, feelings of being unsafe, being in a very tumultuous environment during their upbringing. Certainly if there was any overt abuse, verbal, physical abuse of them, themselves, or even a family member. Let's say the dad was abusing the mom physically, was very, you know, loud, boisterous, even, you know, alcoholic, abusive, substance abusers. People who come from that environment, particularly young girls who also are genetically susceptible to fibromyalgia, go on to develop these disorders later in life. Their nervous system just interprets their world a little different. They're stuck in this phase or a system we call hypervigilance, where their nervous system is always on guard for the next threat. And over time, that takes its toll on the nervous system. And in adulthood, you develop things like fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, and anxiety, panic disorder, inability to go into deep stages of sleep. Now, that happens much more so to the female brain that's been exposed to these types of stressors than it does to the male brain. Males go on to develop more aggressiveness, easy to frustrate, lashing out, you know, physically or with violence, even being repeat offenders in the way they were offended, where women tend to internalize it a little more. And I know that's sort of, you know, stereotyping, but mm-hmm. that does tend to be the overall yep. pattern. There seems to be a gender difference in the way we deal with these types of issues.
Well, it sounds like it's very much different strokes for different folks who suffer from, quote, fibromyalgia. It sounds like a grab bag of different potential diagnoses and different yeah. potential solutions. So with that as an introduction, let's proceed to part two. Our listeners know that we divide these podcasts into two parts. In the second part, I want to focus on some specific issues, supplements for fibromyalgia. We want to talk a little bit about the relationship of the gut to fibromyalgia, and also look at sleep as a factor in fibromyalgia, a contributing factor, a consequence, or a cause. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Dr. David Brady. He is the host of the upcoming FibroFix Summit, also author of a book called The FibroFix, an excellent compendium of solutions for fibromyalgia. And when we return, more of Intelligent Medicine. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman.